started. I'll call the October 23rd, 2025 meeting of the Housing Policy Committee meeting to order.
All right, so I've got our virtual meeting script. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We are going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. Chair and committee staff can control muting and unmuting, but don't have to for this committee necessarily. And members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. And we don't have any members of the public registered to speak, so Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, thanks. Next on the agenda is approving the minutes from September 25th, our last meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay. Seeing no raised hands, is there a motion to approve? Oh, Mike, do you have a motion or did you have corrections?
I have a motion to approve the
He has a
minutes.
motion. Okay. Is there a second? Okay, Hannah, I think I saw first. I'll assume unanimous consent unless I see a raised hand to object. Okay, seeing no objection, the motion to approve passes unanimously. Next up is item 90406, public comment. I believe there is no public comments.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And I'd like to remind the committee of our disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Okay. Now for new business. Item 90434, data for 2025 housing snapshot report, staff presentation and discussion. And I'll pass this back to Heather Sutter.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to all of you actually on the committee for this idea to help us humanize the data that we see and share as part of the housing snapshot and other housing communications from the city to Madison residents. I think that I'll say that I really appreciate a lot of the input from individual committee members. Had a nice meeting with Hannah to talk about just an early draft idea, and then input from Jillian on some rent rates, and other input has come in from Laurel. I just want to thank everybody for kind of helping to shape this. It's still in draft form, but I'll take a moment to share what we have and invite your comments on kind of taking it to the next level. And again, this data is it's a way to basically share real, pretend, but realistic stories of households and the budget choices they face with housing as kind of that number one need. And so we tried to pull together 10 different examples ranging from very low income, so under 30% of our area median income, up to median income itself, and have several different household types pulled together. I won't go through them all in detail, but Amanda, if I can have permission to share screen, I'll quickly walk through what we have. All right, thank you. All right. So, I will also say that this was quite a data journey. This is a mixture of art and science, trying to come up with thoughts on what households might actually be deciding between when they think about their monthly budgets, and relying pretty heavily on data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which has a lot of data about monthly expenditures for households at different income levels. Thank you to Hannah again for the USDA food expenditures data source. I thought that was really useful and kind of tried to true up each household's food expenditures using that data as well. So kind of the anatomy of these 10 examples is that we have the household size and income level at the very top here and kind of the boldest. We have realistic jobs listed and incomes of those jobs that are Madison-based data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics just from last year, from 2024. And this is where the art comes in, kind of making a very brief description about the household, the type of home that they are living in, and maybe a little bit about their past. This is something where we could take it much further and develop it in more detail, or curious about your input on that piece. And then another piece that I've received some comments from some of you on is when we talk about other expenses. I think we tried to keep the look of the pie chart itself pretty simple: housing, transportation, food, taxes, and then lumped everything else in one orange category here. But should we break that down in a more detailed way, or at least provide some more detail in the narrative? That's a question I'd like to pose to the group. Each piece also has an image of an actual home, either an apartment building or a home that was listed for sale within just the past few weeks in Madison. So really realistic fall 2025 data on housing rent or for sale cost. And then, I think walking through, I won't walk through the whole pie chart, but from what I've said thus far, we did draw from a lot of different data sources to put this together. We marched through. This is a single older adult, and the pie chart here of this individual's expenses is very small related to what we would expect for like the median household expenses month to month, and that's kind of represented by this largest circle here. Again, I won't go through all of these, but we did try to, throughout this, have a diversity of household sizes, ages, jobs, et cetera, and tried to make sure that they were fairly realistic. We moved from that 30% to the 50% of the area median income. So this individual's making about 40,000 per year. 60,000, or sorry, 60% area median income. This individual parent with a child is making about 62,000 per year with a job and a half. And then going up to, this is a more typical, this is 80% of the area median income. And so this is the level that I think is generally recognized as low income, but possible for home ownership. And so the city's home ownership support programs apply to folks making about 80% of the area's median income. This individual is renting, but then we do have some examples of home ownership as well. So here's an 80% area median income household and a picture of a home that they could afford with their income. And then a couple different examples of folks living at exactly the median income. And so I think one way to think about this is that this data set of 10 different examples represents about half of Madison households, up to that median income. And then the other half of Madison households have incomes higher than this. All of it gets a little detailed with the household sizes and everything. A median income single person home household makes a different amount of money than a four person household living at the median income. So little complexity there to get through. But again, our hope is that that provides some reality check or just a window in for people reading the housing snapshot or looking at other housing data to get a sense of, who lives here in Madison, who really represents our city, and what are some of the choices, tough choices in some cases, they need to make about spending on a month-to-month basis. So I'm going to leave it there and welcome further input and ideas from you about tweaks to this, ways to share it, any concerns, just please feel free to go with it and know that again, we really relied on the committee for this idea. Thank you so much, and hopefully what we've put together is at least a decent start that we can work with and take to the next level.
Thanks, Heather, and thanks, Steph, for assembling this. Really appreciate it. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll start off by echoing Paul's thanks to staff. I think this is really very digestible in a very like data dense topic. I think it makes it about as easy as it can be to collect so much information and present it in a pretty quick to interpret form. My first suggestion is pretty minor. It wasn't immediately obvious to me what the green like banner versus the purple banner meant. I later realized that's homeowners versus renters. So if that could unless I missed it somewhere, that might be a helpful thing to point out. And I think my second comment isn't really pertaining to how this is like formatted or like I think that data is presented very well. I think there's an important maybe note or something to accompany this that, as you'd mentioned, Heather, that like 100% of area median income means that half of the area makes more than that household. And so everybody that we're presented with is, and I don't want to format it in a way so it sounds like, you know, residents are competing against each other, but in the housing market, everybody that we've been shown here are competing with an entire half of the area that's making more than them for a similar housing stock. And like, you know, ideally those people that make above the 100% area median income are renting housing or buying housing that's closer to their income bracket based on what the city sort of views as like those 1 and 2 star rental properties or houses that are like newer, have the amenities that folks are looking for at that income level. But from the other presentation that we shared earlier this year, we saw how many folks are renting down and finding their way into this same housing market that folks at this income level are presented with as their only choice. So I think some note to that extent that just sort of acknowledges like there is an entire group that makes up about 50% of the area that is not described here, and they're also in this pool trying to find housing that's a good fit for them. And I guess I should make it clear that that's not to say that those folks should be like disregarded. If anything, that makes the case for why there should be people or why there should be housing built for that income level so that it's not competing with folks below 100% area median income, but still think it's something worthwhile to call out.
All right, I'm Jillian.
Thanks. I am always really impressed when you guys can put data together like this. Collecting and presenting data is a hard skill. I really like the circles and how they grow. I think that was a really cool way. The first thing that jumped out to me is I thought it would be helpful to have a line that said the rent amount that this person could afford to not be cost burdened. So 30% of their AMI. And then possibly for the one person, the 83-year-old, instead of jobs, it could say job slash income source, and you could show a fixed income SSDI, something like that, because that's a big population. And it might work with that person. And then along the lines of the 30% to not be cost burdened, and again, data presentations, not my skill set. I don't know if you could show like a dashed line on the pie to show what 30% of their pie looks like or something. If that gets too messy, I get it because you'd have that amount listed there. But I think, I mean, when you get into Section 42 conversations and stuff with the fixed rents, a lot of people who are qualifying for housing that even is, like you say, They're deeply subsidized and still cost burdened. It's a big piece of the story that even people who are getting assistance are still cost burdened, even at the 30% level, even with income. and I think in other presentations we get into this, but along the same lines as kind of what Mike was talking about with there being 50% more of the population, just that Madison's median income is so high. So the disparities get so wide. But I think that story kind of gets told elsewhere. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Jillian. Do others have comments? Laurel.
I emailed mine ahead of time, so I kind of cheated. But I think childcare should be its own separate part of the pie slice. I don't have kids, but I can imagine after working on childcare accounts how much it costs even without assistance. So I think that's just, and it's not like a you don't get a choice in that if you're spending on that if you have kids. So I think for those we should pull out that slice. I realize, like the 80-year-old example won't have kids. And then the dot 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 confused me for like the longest time. I was trying to figure out. I knew it was like MISC or whatever. I just think we need like a better symbol there. I was just like, to be continued, or I don't know. And that one might just be more niche, but I think the childcare edit is a little bit more valid.
Okay, thanks. Other comments? I could share a few things. And if anyone else has anything after me, please feel free. I second the comment about adding childcare. I think that would be a good thing. I like the detail though in one, there was a reference to subsidized childcare versus non-subsidized. And I thought that was a really good inclusion. I like that that's there. Maybe we could try to bear that out in numbers if possible. Although I know childcare can really range in what it costs. So not discounting the challenge there. I think in so I guess related to the dot 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 pie slices, it felt to me like just sort of in a glance way, it looked like everyone was affording things, or that like because there was this pie slice left, even though if you dug into it, in the dot dot dot, you're paying for childcare and healthcare and clothes and all this stuff, so. Maybe if we took childcare and possibly healthcare, I don't know if how hard it would be, and took them out of that pie slice and gave them their own. I'd be open to what other people think of sort of tactically, if others would be interested in reworking the orange pie a little bit, at least in some circumstances. I guess my other thought and this actually sort of jogged when I heard what Mike was saying about, we got to include people who are above 100% AMI. I agree about that too. So maybe it's just that for some people, their orange slice is just really, really small. I don't know, but I think there's some way to get at this where you look at a pie and you're like, clearly this person is not affording, or is very challenged. So anyway, I think that was basically it for me. Overall, I really, really like this. Does anyone else have comments? Okay.
Thank you. No, it was all really helpful. I think we can do a better job of like describing what's in that orange slice, regardless of what the symbol is, but Most people have phones, right? They spend that monthly money on phones, maybe a typical cost for, streaming services. I don't know, things have changed since you actually had a television. Phones, obviously childcare, diapers, I don't know, we could put together like a list of and challenge the reader to think about think about all these things that have to fit into this $200 a month or $500 a month. Does that work for you? I don't know. We could think creatively about, without making it have like a dozen slices of pie. We could think creatively about urging readers to think through just the different choices that people would need to make. And savings is in that chunk too. Some people are able to save, others aren't, right? They're not actually able to save. So I think we need to give that a little bit more thought so that it doesn't look like it's just, oh, this money's left over at the end of the month. Everybody has money left over. Yeah, that wasn't the intent. Great. I think I appreciate that input, and I think we can work to make a lot of these tweaks. And then if any of you as individuals have ideas for ways we can kind of push this out there in different ways, or continue to improve it, please feel free to reach out to staff as well. All right, I'll
Okay,
look
great.
at my colleagues. Anybody else have anything to add? I don't think from the staff side. I think we're good. That was really great feedback. So thank you. And thanks again for the idea.
Yeah, well, thanks everyone for their comments and feedback and staff for their work again. So our last piece of new business is item 90407, business by members for upcoming meetings. I'll open it up. Does anyone have any business they'd like to any proposed business for upcoming meetings? Mike?
Heather, I know during our past meeting I'd requested some additional information on pre-approved plans and tax increment financing, and it sounded like Matt Tucker was maybe working on a presentation. Do we know when that information might be shared with the committee?
So far, what we have secured, there will be another package of housing ordinances on the November 18th meeting. And then on December 16th, we definitely have land banking. And I'm working on seeing if we can combine that with TIF, because that is really the same agency. The city's Economic Development Division works on, both of those efforts. I think that the pre-approved plans would come in early 2026, but Matt Tucker and team would be indeed the folks working to pull that together.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Any other business for upcoming meetings? Okay. Seeing none, the last item in our on our agenda is adjournment. And I have a motion to adjourn. Mike?
I move we adjourn.
Second, Jillian. Okay. I pronounce this meeting adjourned.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks,
Thanks so
everybody.
much.